What's up, The Edge? How you doing tonight? How's everyone at Jackson Square? Oh, they're going off over there. Esther, would you calm them down, for goodness sake? How's everyone at Rubicon? Come on. Well, it is such a great honor to be with you tonight. I love The Edge. Who here is signed up for The Edge Conference? Throw your hands up. Who here is not signed up for The Edge Conference yet? Only one person. Somebody buy this young man a registration. What about over at Jackson Square? You're signed up for The Edge Conference over there? I can almost hear them from Western Singapore. We're in the West, right? They're in the East. Central. Well, I definitely can hear them. What are you all doing? Why don't you grab a seat tonight? It's so good to be with you guys. Make sure you sign up for the Edge Conference. The Edge Conference is awesome. I even got the chance to come along and visit one year, about 3 or 4 years ago, and the Edge Conference is unreal. But I want to thank your pastors tonight, Pastor Jeremy and Carissa. It's great to be with you guys, and I definitely love every time I get to hang out with you guys. I'm so glad I connect well with your kids. I'm going to do my best to kind of raise the standard of my sermon tonight so I don't just connect with five-year-olds, but anyone here 15? Anyone? Any 15-year-olds? Any at all? One. We've got one 15-year-old here. Is that it? Y'all are lying. Is there any 15-year-olds here? They were all the boys. Woo! Ah, it's good. And it's Joel. Joel and Carmen. You know, Joel's married now. What a great day that was. I thought you were going to take forever to get married, but he finally got married, came to Melbourne on his honeymoon. Anyone here want to get married? Y'all are too scared. We can do an altar call right now and marry you at the front of the stage. Anyone here want to marry someone they're sitting next to? James? James, you want to get married tonight? What about Esther over at Jackson Square? Is she dating anyone? Are you dating anyone, Esther? Do you want to get married tonight? We could marry you over Live Link. Every young man is going crazy over at Jackson Square. But it's so good to be here. I'm in the area. I was in KL, Kuala Lumpur, a couple of days ago, and we're here today because we are running our Planet Shakers Awakening in January up in KL, and so we're just in the area and having a great time. But we've had a great year in Melbourne. My role at our church in Melbourne, besides, you know, what we do with the band and with the team, is I'm our young adults and university pastor down in Melbourne. And our university ministry, a little bit over 2,000 students now, I swear it must be at least 600 of those are from Singapore alone. So I am surrounded by Singaporeans and a couple of Malaysians here and there. But what that tells me is I know Singaporeans. Singaporeans are not quiet. Singaporeans are loud. I saw you before I was here, so you all know how to praise and worship God. You all know how to sing loud. I've seen you eat food before. You all know how to make noise. But is there anyone here tonight that is excited about the Word of God? Come on, anyone excited enough to stand to their feet and shout tonight? Is anyone excited about the Word of God? Anyone excited about what God might do tonight? Anyone anticipating a move of God in their life? Anyone hungry for God to speak to them tonight? Come on, have we got some passionate young Singaporeans in the house tonight? Wow! Sit down. We're just talking. It's all good. But you know, I love having the opportunity to talk about God. I love having the opportunity to hang out with young people. I love having the opportunity to read my Bible, to delve into what God would want to say to you and to me. Because I know after years of reading this book, after years of hanging out with my Savior, I know that I was created to change the world. And I know that you were too. You know, that's why God would say to you and to me in His Word, go into all the world. He invites us to go to all the world, to change the world, to take the love of God and sometimes places it's never been before. But God invites us to live a life of changing the world. Have we got anyone here who wants to live a life of changing the world? Three people. We got anyone over Jackson Square who wants to live a life of changing the world? Anyone here who wants to live a life of changing the world? Come on tonight. Well, I am so thrilled to share with you around the thought. I want to talk to you tonight about words. Specifically, I'm going to talk to you about the thought, did God really say? Did God really say? I'm talking about words tonight. Come on, young people, let's pray. God, tonight I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence, which is already here. God, I thank you for each and every incredible young person sitting here in Rubicon and over at Jackson Square. And God, tonight we thank you as we come around your word, Lord, that you promise that it's going to change us. God, that it will always accomplish that for which it was sent. And so, God, right now we open up our hearts and our minds to you. Come and do what you want to do tonight. God, would you change us? God, would you make us more like you? Lord, don't let us walk out the same tonight. But Lord, we're hungry for you to speak to us. And so, Lord, right now, let there be a spirit of wisdom and revelation in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, come and do what only you can do. And if you believe that tonight, in Jesus' name, would you say, amen. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue has the power to cause death or life. Some of you didn't know it was that powerful. But you know, our words are so important. In life, God always has a promise for us. God always has a promise that he would declare over us. I would call that what God says. But you know, the devil will always want to counterattack what God says and make us think, did God really say? You know, in the garden, right at the creation of the world, there were Adam and Eve. They were hanging out in the garden. I once saw a funny cartoon about this, that there were Adam and Eve hanging out in the garden, and the serpent came and enticed them to eat the apple off the tree. I saw a funny cartoon. It said if Adam and Eve were Chinese, they would have eaten the snake instead of the apple, and we all would have been okay. But there were Adam and Eve in the garden, and the serpent came in and tried to make them question, did God really say? God had a great promise over them, but because they started listening to the devil, they began to doubt God and begin to question in themselves, did God really say? So we were just talking about just a moment ago that God has a life for you where he wants you to change your world. But you know, the enemy will always come in your life and try and get you to question, did God really say that to me? Does God really want to use my life like that? Did God really promise me? And you know, there's great power in our words. There's power in what we decide to agree with, because what you agree with, you empower. And the Bible tells us, if we have a wedding here later tonight, you'll hear it. The Bible tells us, and we hear it often at weddings, that two are better than one, especially when they're in agreement. But one is often better than two where there's disagreement. You know, another verse that we hear at weddings all the time is that one will put 1,000 a flight, two will put 10,000 a flight. Now, I'm pretty good at maths, maybe not as good as some of you in this room, but I'm pretty good. And if one would equal 1,000, I'm smart enough to work out that two equals 2,000. But God is trying to show us something here, that if one would equal 1,000 and two equals 10,000, then there is exponential growth when we come into agreement with each other. There is exponential growth in agreement. The ordinary becomes extraordinary when we come into the power of agreement. That's how powerful our agreement is in our life. And if the devil can make you believe the wrong thing, if you go from agreeing with what God says about you to agreeing with the wrong thing, all of a sudden, you lose the power of exponentiality in your life. Let me give you this verse right here. It's Jesus talking. I love Jesus talking. It says in Matthew 18 this, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Who's heard that verse before? Power of agreement. Now I want to show you about the power of agreement here. Are you ready? Three people. Are you ready? Come on, don't go quiet on me tonight. This is not school. I'm not here to lecture to you. I'm here to preach. At school, you get told off if you talk back. At church, I smile if you talk back. It's a good thing. Let's talk about the power of agreement. You know that verse there says, if two or three of you come together and agree Jesus says, it'll be done. Now, the power of agreement is this. I've always thought that agreement is not really doing this. Agreement is verbal. And as I began to study this, I looked at the Greek word, because the New Testament was written in Greek, and I am actually partly Greek. All of you think my name is Rudy Nikaru. It's actually Rudy Nikopoulos. And so my Greek heritage, I went back into the Nikopoulos heritage, and I looked at the word agree, and that word in the Greek is actually symphoneo. It's where we get the word in English, symphony. Now, have you ever been to a symphony before? I never have. But if you'd ever gone, I'm sure we've seen pictures and you see it on movies every now and again, a symphony orchestra. Symphony orchestras are huge. There's so many people there. You have the violins over here and the cellos over here, and you have the brass instruments up the back and the big guy on the drums. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, he's just making all this noise and everyone's going crazy. Everyone's making noise, but it all kind of fits together. There is not one symphony in the world that is silent. And so really what this verse is saying is that, again, I say to you that if two of you agree, if two of you create a symphony with your sound in agreement, then Jesus says it will be done. A symphony means a harmonious agreeing together in sound. What that means in church is if the preacher, which tonight is me, but if the preacher says something you agree with, all of a sudden the violins over here can start making noise and you're like, amen, hallelujah. And in the middle here, the brass section, you're like, that's awesome, I agree with that. And over here, like, come on, white boy, preach that word. Yeah, I want that in my life. And all of a sudden, we have this symphonic harmonious agreement in sound, and God says it'll be done when we come into agreement. Is there anyone in this room, is there anyone in Jackson Square in harmonious agreement for what God wants to do in your life tonight? It's good. We're warming up. I like this. So see, verbal agreement is so powerful because there's power in our words. It's not just power in the Word of God, but He actually tells us that there's power in our words as well. You know, our tomorrow looks like the sound of what we say today. Our tomorrow looks like the sound of what we say today. There's power in our agreement because what we agree with, we empower. We're going to be so careful what comes out of our mouth. I don't know if you've ever met these people in the schoolyard before or hung out with these people at a family function before, but have you ever encountered someone who just always says negative stuff? I don't know if you've ever hung around with people like that before, but even simple things, we can fall into the trap of agreeing with them and then declaring things like, I'm ugly. I'm dumb, I'm sick, I'm depressed, I'm having a failure, I have no money, I'm having a bad hair day. That's the worst. And we can come into agreement with these things up here and then declare them with our mouth, but we've got to be so careful because there's power in our agreement. What we really should be saying is, I'm beautiful, I'm successful, I'm smart, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God will provide all my needs. My hair is wonderful. That's what we should be declaring. I wonder what happens. You know, one day, many of you in this room are going to grow up. I mean, all of you are going to grow up. But, you know, one day you're going to grow up and you're going to get a job, and there's going to come a time when you're going to have to use your own money to buy McDonald's. It's a horrible part of life. But then you're going to get old enough, many of the, you youth leaders, you know what I'm talking about, where you get a bill that comes in that mum and dad are not going to pay for. Maybe it's your phone bill. And you look at the bill and how big it is, and you look at your bank account and how small it is. That's a hard time in life. Sometimes people go to the doctor. I just went to the doctor this week and had to get blood taken. Didn't pass out. That's an achievement for me. But you know, sometimes people can go to the doctor and the doctor will say, you've got this. And you can think in your mind, you know, maybe the doctor diagnoses you with something and you can come into agreement and you have a moment there in your life where you can either agree with him or you can go, thank you for letting me know what I need to pray for now. Or maybe, you know, you're faced with a situation in life where you go out on a date with someone. but they don't call you back for the second date. Oh, that's real pain, people. That's true pain. You know, things happen in life where we have an opportunity in those situations. Are we going to start to agree with the negativity of what's going on? Are we going to start to agree with, did God really say? Or are we going to come into agreement with the best that God has for our life? When the bill comes in, you can look at it and freak out and go, I have no money. Or you can go, God shall supply all my needs. When the doctor's report comes in, you can freak out about it. Or you can say, well, thank you for letting me know what I'm believing for. When someone doesn't call you back for the second date, you can sit there and feel bad about yourself, or you can go, you know what? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe I was there fearfully, but I'm somebody's wonderfully. Come on, somebody. You know, there's a story I heard once about a couple that had been married for a long time, let's say 35 years. I don't know what their names were, but you know, we could call them Fred and Nancy. Hang on a second, we're in Singapore. We could call them Uncle and Auntie. So Uncle and Auntie, they'd been married for like 35 years. And they had a lovely marriage. They loved each other. But see, every night of their marriage, something happened. Every night of their marriage, Auntie heard noises in the house. And every night of their marriage, she'd been scared that there was a burglar downstairs. So every night of their marriage, Auntie rolls over and wakes up Uncle and says, you need to get out of bed. You need to check downstairs. There might be a burglar. Finally, one night, Uncle was woken by his wife. There might be a burglar downstairs. And so he did what he did every night. He put his robe on and he walked downstairs to see if there was a burglar in the house. And lo and behold, there was. Standing there right in the lounge room was a burglar. The burglar looked at Uncle. Uncle looked at the burglar. And there they were, face to face for a moment. Uncle looked at the burglar and he says, oh my gosh, where have you been? My wife has been expecting you for 35 years. Can you wait here for a moment? I'm going to go get her. She won't believe you finally made it. What happened is every night of their marriage, Auntie came into agreement that there was going to be a burglar. And guess what? It came true. You know, when I was very young, I went to school, like all of us do. And I learned this nursery rhyme when I was in school. Maybe you've heard it here in Singapore. We've heard it in Australia. It goes something like this. It says, sticks and stones shall break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What an incredible nursery rhyme. What an incredibly wrong nursery rhyme. I heard that rhyme probably in the first year that I was ever at school. I'm like, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm like, okay, never throw a stick at me. But there I was, a little five-year-old going to school, and I heard the nursery rhyme. I learned the nursery rhyme. I wondered then why, when I fell over and got kicked playing soccer, it hurt for a moment, but I was fine. But then when someone declared words over me that they hated me or that I was stupid or that I wasn't cool, I wondered why they stuck around for so much longer. When I went through school, probably for the first 8 years of my schooling life, I was bullied. And I went to school many days and I was told how stupid I was. I was told how uncool I was. I was told that I didn't wear the right clothes, that I didn't do the right things, or I didn't do my hair a certain way, or didn't have the right brand shoes, or you're into music. Music's so dumb. Yeah, suckers, look at me now. But that's what I was told. That's what I was told when I was a little kid. And I developed this great skill when I was about 8 years old. It was a skill known as evading the police. Now, thankfully, I didn't develop it too much longer in life, but I developed it as an eight-year-old because I would run away from school when things got too much. Multiple times, I would run away from the schoolyard, and the school and my house were about 6 kilometers apart, and I learned every little tunnel that I could get through and every park I could run through so the cops would never find me. What I was running away from was their words. What I still never got away from was the words they declared over me, though, because I knew the nursery rhyme. But it wasn't true. The truth is, those things stuck in my heart.
And for 15 years of my life, the words that were said to me in those moments caused such a deep insecurity in me that it led me to live a life trying to keep up with other people, trying to please other people, trying to be as cool as other people were. It didn't matter the compliments I got. It didn't matter the promises I read in the Word of God when I was saved. It didn't matter the care and love that others tried to express to me because I'd been wounded by these words. But the problem was I'd also come into agreement with them. When they said it to me, I believed it. They said I wasn't cool like they were, I believed them. They said I wasn't as good at sport as they were, they were true. They said I wasn't as good as they were or as good looking as they were or this or that. And the problem was I agreed with. And the issue with that is what we agree with, we empower. But I want to go a little bit deeper today. Can we go deeper? Come on, can we go deeper for a moment? You see, if we don't allow the love of God to go deep into our hearts and to deal with the wounds that these words can cause us, not just the words but the wound, then we will go through life walking wounded. And it's amazing to me that the entire trajectory of our life can be affected by what we come into agreement with. When we have words that are declared over us, when we come into agreement with those words, we give them power in our life. And it really comes a battle in all of our life is we can look at what God said over us. And here we've got what God said. And over here, we've got what life would say. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone at school. Maybe it was an employer. Whoever it was, we've got over here, God said versus did God say? And this is the battle that we play out in life so often. Over here is God said. Over here is did God really say in our circumstances? Over here, it's God promised that he loved me. Over here is that I don't feel loved at all. Over here, God said that I'm going to change the world, but over here, I feel powerless. God said over here that I am wonderful, I can do all things through Christ, but over here, here's the exam that I failed. So often in life, this is what it comes down to. And the amazing thing about the words that wound us is that our present reality often confirms what was declared. What we see with our eyes lines up with the words that were spoken. You see, when I was in the schoolyard, I believed I wasn't cool. I believed I wasn't like the other kids. I believed I didn't fit in. I didn't have as much cool stuff as they did. I believed it, and therefore I empowered it. And even when I encountered God's promises, it was a struggle for me to believe what God said about me. Because the reality I saw was so much different. I want to ask you a question tonight, young person, here in Rubicon, over at Jackson Square. What are you agreeing with? You remember what our agreement is, right? Our agreement is like a symphony in our life. Our agreement is what we empower. We give power to it. There's power in our agreement. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. Remember all of these things. What are you agreeing with tonight? What we agree with, we empower. See, I want to ask this question. Are you going to continue to agree with the words that have wounded you? Are you going to continue to agree with how things look to you? Are you going to continue to agree with the whispers of the enemy? Did God really say? You know, the power that God has given us in our words is this. God has literally given us the power to change eternity. Not just our life, but to change eternity. Because you know, in the Bible it says this, it says in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means that simply by uttering words with our mouth, we can change our life from being eternally separated from God to being eternally commune with God, joined with God, in relationship with God, simply by saying words. That's the power of our words. So if God has given us the power to completely change our eternity, what do you think you could do with your life around you? What do you think you could do with your word? Like I said at the start, there is death and life in the power of your tongue. What are you coming into agreement with? If God has given us the power to change eternity, imagine what else we can do. Maybe you've been believing negative things in your life. Maybe people have said things over you that have stuck in your spirit and you keep repeating them. Maybe things have been told about you. Maybe a teacher told you you were stupid. Maybe your parents told you that you couldn't quite do good enough at school. Maybe a friend told told you that you weren't good enough at sport. Maybe someone said something about you that made you feel like you were ugly. My question to you tonight, because the truth is, there's going to be so many places in life where we're going to hear things. What are you agreeing with, though? Are you agreeing with those negative things? Are you agreeing with those hurtful things? Are you agreeing with the things that wounded you? Or are you agreeing with the Word of God? You see, maybe like me, you found yourself in a situation, I believed those things for so long, they became a part of me. I believed I was stupid. I believed I wasn't cool. I believed that I wasn't like the other. I believed I wasn't as good as other people. And I believed it for so long that it became so difficult to believe it when God said, "You're incredible." When He told me He would never leave me. It was very difficult for me to believe that He loved me unconditionally, because I'd been believing the wrong thing for so long. Well, you know, that's where I'm so glad of the verse that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You see, when I was 21 years of age, I finally recognized how insecure I was. I finally recognized that I wasn't really believing what God said about me. And I had a moment with a leader of mine where I had the opportunity to pray, and the power of that insecurity was broken. You know, God can do something in a moment, young person. Do you believe that? You know, God can change something in a moment. God can break something off your life in a moment. The power of God is unreal. The power of God is unbelievable. He can do anything in just a moment. And so I had an incredible time of prayer, and I knew that God had broken me free from that. But while I was free from that, I still didn't know how to live free from that. See, it took me weeks of declaring with my mouth what God thought of me before my heart began to believe it. I knew that something had changed, but still I couldn't believe it. So I had to take the Word of God and declare it over my life. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For my faith to rise, I had to hear the Word of God. And the only way I could hear the Word of God was for me to get it in my mouth and declare it. Because see, every time I'm declaring something, I'm also hearing something, and that does something to my faith. And so what I had to do in that moment was take the Word of God and declare it over my life, because every time I hear His word, my faith rises. Every time I heard His word, my faith rises. So here's the question tonight, young person. Are you going to believe what God said? Are you going to declare what God said? Are you going to come into agreement with God, what God said? Are you going to declare what God said? Or are you going to go through your teenage years, your life, questioning, did God really say? You see, check this out. God says that I'm complete in Him in Colossians. He says that I'm alive with Christ in Ephesians. He says I have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians. He says I have surpassing peace, more than I ever need. He says, greater in He who's in me than he who's in the world. He tells me I'm a new creation. He says, I've received the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues, that nothing shall harm me. He says, I have the power over the enemy. He says, He will supply all my needs in Philippians. He says, my shield of faith will stop the fiery darts of the enemy in Ephesians. He says, I can do all things through Christ in Philippians, that I am God's child. He tells me, I am God's masterpiece, that I'm more than a conqueror. He says, I've overcome. He tells me, I'm His ambassador, that I'm part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a purchased people. He says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He tells me, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. He tells me, I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. And He tells me, He has not given me fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. These are the things that God says. Is there anyone here that agrees with them tonight? Come on, all over this room, why don't we stand to our feet over at Jackson Square? Why don't we stand tonight? The band can come. See, my question to you is, what are you agreeing with today? Because what we agree with, we give power to in our life. What are you agreeing with? What are you empowering? What word has still affected your life that you need to break agreement with that today. You see, there's people in this room and over at Jackson Square. You've had words that were spoken over you. You've had things that people have declared over you. Maybe some of the things that I've mentioned tonight, maybe some of the things that I went through. Whether it was that people have told you you're stupid or you're not cool or you don't have the right staff or you're not good at this or good at that. That you'll never be what you want to be. Every person in this room and over at Jackson Square, I believe that there's a dream in each and every one of our hearts. But so often people tell us we're never going to be good enough to do that. So often we come up against things in life that would challenge what God has declared in our heart. But tonight I wanted to talk to you about words. And right now, I want to ask every person in this room, would you close your eyes and bow your heads over at Jackson Square? Would you do the same? Close your eyes and bow your heads tonight. If you're here and that's you, there are some words that people have declared over you, and tonight you want to break free from them. Tonight you want to leave them behind. Tonight you want to step into belief and agreement with everything God's got for you. You want the power of those words to be broken. I'm going to invite every person that relates to respond tonight. You know, sometimes these words in our life can wound us. They can hurt us. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was wounded for us so that we didn't have to be wounded. You know, the love of Jesus is here for you tonight. And so all over this room, all over Jackson Square, if that's you with no one looking around, I want to invite you out of your seat and down the front. Because I believe that God is about to do some powerful things. Come on, even as I'm talking, you can start to respond. You can come forward. Just push past the person next to you if they've got their eyes closed. It's all good. But come right down the front. And over in Jackson Square, I want to invite you to do the same. You know, I believe that there's going to be so many people across this room and over at Jackson Square. You want to break free from those words. You want to be healed from those words. You want Jesus to do a work in your life. Come on, I know there's many, many people that need to respond tonight. Would you step out of your seat and come and receive? You know, what happens, what's so important about coming out of your seat and down the front is the carpet here more special than where you were standing? No, it's not about that. It's more so just saying, Jesus, I want to leave behind all of those things that I was believing. I want to leave behind all of those things people said about me. So I'm stepping out from where I was and into everything you've got for me. So come on, all over this room. You know, there's a lot of people that have responded, and there's a lot of girls and a few boys, but I want to encourage some boys right now. Sometimes we can be too embarrassed or too insecure to respond, but come on, men. It's time that you would stop believing those words that were spoken over you and say, all right, God, I'm going to be everything you've called me to be. I'm not going to let anything hold me back any longer. Come on, if you've got to respond tonight. I'm just going to ask the team to sing whatever song. Come on, as they sing, would you respond? Come on, you come if you still need to come tonight. I know Jesus is healing some people here.